Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. First time that we come with you, at least, come at you at least in the 2019 year. Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a safe and happy New Year. A lot of you settling back into work today. A lot of kids either back at school, getting ready to go back to school very soon, and the holiday period is effectively over for the 2018-19 year. So glad you're with us. I had a great time during the holidays. It was great to get a couple days away from various things, but most off, I'm excited we're back because Big Ten Conference basketball gets underway now. IU is back at it tomorrow. New Albany Jeff is Friday night. And before you know it, it seems like just yesterday we were back in October, early November, wishing for basketball to return, at least on a regular basis. Now that we're into early January, look how quickly that time has passed. And before you know it, we'll be talking about the NCAA tournament. We'll be talking about the high school basketball postseason. And then before you know it, we'll be into the spring and our prized basketball season will have slipped right through our fingers more quickly than what we would have liked. So it's going to be a fun start to the year. A lot of things very interesting. I don't think Indiana basketball with Juwan Morgan and, of course, Romeo Langford there can get much more exciting than what it has been, at least through the non-conference portion of the schedule. And with the Big Ten Conference getting ready to start, everybody on edge about how this Indiana team will do. Everyone thinks they can be competitive, maybe finish near or at the top of the conference, and we'll see, because it starts Thursday night for IU, a home game with Illinois. We'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X Sports Radio tomorrow night, and then, of course, New Albany Jeff Friday night on the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Wednesday show, segment one, I've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We'll take a look at an unfortunate headline, one we knew was coming. Tyler Trent, the crazed Purdue fan and journalist, aspiring journalist, I should say, that had a rare form of bone cancer. He passed away yesterday. Everybody chiming in to thank him for what he did, to tell him to rest in peace, to console, I should say, his family during this difficult time. And a lot of not just national people, but even some with an IU lean, including Romeo, reaching out with some very nice posts on social media. So we'll talk about that. Also in our headlines, Andy Bottoms, our bracketology friend from Inside the Hall and Assembly Call, he has on Alex Bozich's website, insidethehall.com, he has 5 takeaways when you look at IU bracketology heading into the full slate of 2019 conference games. Very interesting stuff that I think makes a lot of sense. We're going to talk about that in the headline segment. We've got some news on New Albany Jeffersonville tickets for Friday night as well. We'll pass that along to you here in a bit. And I keep being reminded that as we promote and preview a great rivalry like New Albany Jeffersonville, that Floyd Central has a big game on Thursday night. A good midseason test for the Highlanders, so we'll talk about that in the headlines coming up here in just a moment as well. Segment 2, Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com is scheduled to be with us. We'll talk some IU basketball. Take a look at the Big Ten as well. Conference play beginning. IU back at it tomorrow night with the Illinois game at home, and Jeff will help us get set up for that contest as well. Illinois, not maybe the team that we thought they would be at this point heading into the full slate of conference games. A bad home loss just recently, and generally just maybe underperforming a little bit. But still, it's a Big Ten conference game. It is an opportunity, I think, for Indiana to get an early win to go along with the two that they secured in the early games, which would be huge to have a 3-0 starting conference, especially given what's just around the corner with at Michigan and some other very tough games, including some road games in this opening stretch for Indiana. So we'll talk about that some with Jeff and more. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey-Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. I mentioned our first headline is a sad one, and I feel like with the passing of Tyler Trent, he's not an IU guy. He's a Purdue guy. He's not someone that I ever had the opportunity to meet at a game or to interview or to have any interactions with. But because of a regular guest on our show, and many of you that I think listen every day, you probably have the same feeling I do. I feel when I read something about Tyler Trent or see him on ESPN or see him get an award at the college basketball or college football awards for this season, I feel like I know him a little more than I do because Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, who's with us Tuesdays, we missed him this week because of the New Year holiday yesterday, but he is so close with him, visits his house in Westloft in Carmel, I should say, on a regular basis, has told us a lot of really neat stories about some of the opportunities that Tyler has had, some of the things he's done to spread awareness to cancer and to help raise money for cancer. And the guy, the kid, has had so many unique opportunities, and the way he's handled himself through these difficult moments have been really just simply unbelievable. And, of course, his passing yesterday has been widely covered, widely reported on. Scott Van Pelt last night on SportsCenter, they left a vacant chair with his photo on the picture wall as SportsCenter went off the air last night. He has and will continue to get, rightfully so, a lot of recognition for what he did, how he faced adversity, and how he lived his life through some very difficult moments. But even Romeo Langford taking to Twitter last night, he got an opportunity to meet him at the IU-Purdue game back at the end of October. They snapped a photo, which was widely shared on social media, and Romeo tweeted, quote, "Rest in peace, Tyler Trent. You were an inspiration to people all over the world. You'll always be remembered, hashtag Tyler Strong." And that's just one of many social media comments and things being tagged to Tyler Trent after his passing yesterday. Just a few days ago, last week, at the end of last week, I guess, he was the, over the weekend maybe it was, he was the captain, the honorary captain of the Music City Bowl in which Purdue football participated in. So a young man that I followed from a distance. I have enjoyed Greg's work on him specifically, and more than anything, I have enjoyed having Greg on to kind of get updates on him. And when he first brought it up, I thought, you know, it's a sad situation. Hate to hear about anything like that. It's really cool, Greg, what you're doing for him, to be there for him and to help him with his dream to be a columnist for the Indianapolis Star and go visit with him and take him food and all the neat things that Greg Doyle did for him. But as he told these stories, you kind of took more of an interest that what an interesting kid, what a cool guy. Could I face adversity like he has? And so you follow it much more closely than maybe what I would have if Greg had not been on our program and talking about it on a regular basis. So I wanted to start the headlines with our first program of 2019 with a shout out, a final shout out to Tyler Trent for what he did, how he did it, and the life that he lived. Rest in peace. Obviously, just a very unique kid with opportunities and to promote the disease and raise money and did so many good things. And he will always forever be remembered. And I think that it's very clear that many people took a liking to him and will always remember him as well. So rest in peace to Tyler Trent. A very interesting story to follow. An awesome young man who fought adversity, no question about it. Moving on to bracketology for IU. Andy Bottoms, he's been on our program before. We'll have him on again once we get a little deeper into Big Ten Conference play. He does a great job taking a look at bracketology. He's an IU guy as well, so he always is a good person to talk to when you start to think about NCAA tournament and March Madness. It seems like forever down the pike right now, but as you know, it goes quick and it'll be here before you know it. He had kind of five takeaways heading in to the new year, heading into the restart of Big Ten Conference play for Indiana as far as where they stand for the NCAA tournament for this year after missing it a year ago. And I won't read the story word for word. You can find it at InsideTheHall.com, and I'll tweet it out for you here in just a little bit as well. But a couple points, and I think all of these make a lot of sense. He says point number one is Marquette, that victory, how Indiana won that game, the margin by which they won it, that game is aging very well. Marquette has went on to have a solid non-conference season. They're expected to do well in their conference as well. So that alone, that one game, really big for the resume, for the NCAA hopes of the Hoosiers, at least at this point. The next point he makes, I agree with completely as well, the Arkansas loss, the one-point loss on the road at Fayetteville, a tough place to play. Indiana had a chance to win it at the buzzer. The shot was in and out. It doesn't really hurt Indiana. A one-point loss on the road at a power conference team, very unlikely to come back to, quote, haunt Indiana, is what Andy writes, and I agree with that completely as well. If you're going to lose a game like that, to lose in a close, competitive road loss, not that big a deal. Now, multiple losses, maybe, but the one at Arkansas, not that big a deal. His third point, looking at bracketology for the Hoosiers that Andy made, none of IU's mid-major opponents are likely to help the Hoosiers' NCAA tournament resume. If you look at those lesser opponents, mid-major opponents, lower-level Division I opponents, whatever you want to call them, that were on IU's schedule, and mostly on every Division I, high-major Division I team schedule at some point in the non-conference season, none of those teams, either when they played Indiana or since they've played Indiana, have went on to have great records and accomplished great things, maybe have an upset win against at least some sort of bigger Division I team. That did not happen. Things like that that you maybe don't expect. If one of those teams, say an Arlington, had beat a high-major team on the road, that would help Indiana's look at the NCAA tournament, their resume. That didn't happen. So as expected, the mid-major opponent's really not going to be a big help to IU's NCAA hopes this year. Fourth point that Andy writes, and you can read this again at InsideTheHall.com, the Big Ten strong non-conference play is really going to help IU and everyone else. Of course, there's going to be some beating up of each other now that conference play is fully beginning. There's no way around that. But the Big Ten Conference, especially for like a three-week period, was absolutely on fire in non-conference games, winning some very big ones, including teams a little lower down the conference rankings, at least preseason projections, winning some big non-conference games that really helped the conference overall and its stature in college basketball for this 18-19 season. So that will help IU and everyone when the selection committee looks back at what Indiana, what some of the other Big Ten Conference teams did before the full slate of conference games arrived against non-conference opponents. But Big Ten at one point, seven teams, and this was just a couple weeks ago, seven teams in the Associated Press Top 25 poll. I know we've ripped on the AP rankings here recently, but that's still to have seven out of 25 teams in a ranking where there are voters from across the country, not just the Big Ten footprint, is very impressive, and I think kind of underscores how good the Big Ten has been, at least to this point. And the final point that Andy makes, I agree with this completely. IU, at this point, as they head into the full conference schedule, they've positioned themselves to earn a protected seed in the NCAA tournament. If they don't win the Big Ten Conference tournament, they don't win the Big Ten regular season conference, I think they've got themselves a really good opportunity to have a protected seed when those pairings are announced. Now, there's a lot of basketball to be played. Things could always veer off course. You never know what can happen. But I think at this point right now, Indiana, as they reset, as they head into Big Ten Conference play the rest of the way, has done some really good things with its resume, its NCAA tournament resume, to position itself well. The only thing more you could ask for is a win on the road at Duke, which we know is not going to happen. It's very, very difficult to win there. It's very, very difficult even for good teams to be competitive at a place like Duke. And the only other thing in addition to that that could maybe have boosted things a bit more, again, would be some of the mid-major, some of the lower-level teams, had they went on to have some big non-conference wins, maybe some upsets against bigger D1 teams in the non-conference season. That didn't happen either. But still, a good look for Indiana, a good spot for Indiana, I think, at this point. And you can read more about that story. It's called Bracketology, Five Takeaways from IU's NCAA Tournament Profile. I think it's a good read for this time of year, with the pause in games, with it being the new year, with Indiana getting ready to jump back into the Big Ten full-time. I think it's a good reset because, again, a month down the road, definitely, 5 weeks down the road for sure, we'll be talking about NCAA Tournament, and we'll know enough then to have a really good projection, I think, on not just Indiana, but the Big Ten Conference, at least somewhat, the number of teams that could get in the tournament and what it's looking like for the Big Ten Conference and for Indiana as a whole. But it'll be here before you know. We'll be talking about seeds and will they get in and who's going to get in and how many from the conference are going to get in and big games down the stretch in the Big Ten Conference that could have implications on different Big Ten teams' tournament resumes. That's all coming up very soon, no question about it. One other headline today: tickets for Friday night's big rivalry game, New Albany at Jeffersonville, will be sold from 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursday at New Albany High School. Again, from 6 to 7 p.m. Thursday at New Albany High School. Door 9, that's the Vincennes Street entrance to the gymnasium. Again, Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m., you can get an early ticket for the New Albany at Jeffersonville game. I think it'll be a sellout. I've talked with Jim Shannon, Joe Luce in the last couple days. They are hoping and thinking it will be a sellout as well. That game normally is. I have not heard if Jeff will have any pre-sale opportunities at Jeff High School yet. I will check on that. But I would recommend, if you're planning to go to that game and you're not a Jeff fan that has season tickets, I would find a way to get to New Albany High School on Thursday and get an early ticket so you've got a for sure ticket to get in the door at William S. Johnson Arena on Friday night. Should be a really good game. Jeffersonville and New Albany both coming off of losses, but both have showed some promise this year with their teams and still have a lot to figure out. I think that's true for both sides. But I think Friday night will be a great game, and it's always fun. It's always a place you want to be when those two teams hook up in a rivalry game. It could be a potential sectional matchup as well. Of course, Jeff still has to play Floyd Central a little further down the line in the regular season conference play, but you start thinking about Floyd Central and the season that they've had, and Jeff with some weapons, and New Albany as they look to improve throughout the season, and that could be a very fun time. I know it seems forever, just like the NCAA tournament down the line, but we'll be talking about that stuff before you know it. It'll be here very, very quickly now that we've reached January 2019. Also, when I talk New Albany, Jeff, that's a traditional rivalry. We'll have the broadcast on Friday. We'll have both head coaches on the Hoosier Report Friday to preview that matchup as well. But when I talk that game, I don't want to leave out another big game this week, and I had forgotten. It's a Thursday night game. Ballard of Louisville is at Floyd Central on Thursday night. It's a girl-boy doubleheader. The boys game projected to start about 7:30 at Floyd Central. That will be a really good test for Floyd Central. Ballard obviously up and down and very athletic, very quick in many ways, represent the style of a Jeffersonville or a New Albany, a team that Floyd Central might have to beat once or twice this season to win the sectional, or at least when they play in the sectional to move on to regional play. So an interesting test for Floyd Central on Thursday. A couple good games this week to pay attention to. Don't forget, tomorrow on Thursday's show, we'll be taking a look at the full schedule for this weekend, the top performers through some of the holiday tournaments and holiday basketball, and a lot more with Lee Kelly when he joins me on our Southern Indiana basketball update. One other thing to mention to you, I think I said this already, we'll have a full coverage of the IU-Illinois game on Thursday with Don Fisher and crew. And, of course, Zach McCright will have the play-by-play call of New Albany at Jeffersonville, that rivalry game on Friday night at William S. Johnson Arena in Jeffersonville. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more on this Wednesday edition, 2019, January 2nd edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com is with us as the Hoosiers prepare to reopen Big Ten play Thursday night with a home game against Illinois. We're going to preview that game. We're going to do a lot with Jeff today in this segment. But first, Jeff, I want to continue with what I was talking about in our headline segment to open the show today. IU, its bracketology resume, its NCAA tournament resume, if you want to call it that, through this point of the season, with the non-conference games behind us, with two Big Ten games behind us, where do you see Indiana stacking up as far as a resume and building a resume goes for this year's NCAA tournament?
Well, I think what they've done to this point is really solid, and especially from the standpoint of the strength of schedule. They played actual road games against major conference teams. They played a better brand of, you know, mid-major level teams from around the country. Obviously, it depends upon what teams do over the course of their season. You know, exactly what it's going to look like come selection week. But I think they've done a really good job with the schedule, considering the team that they have. You know, with that many young guys, you can't go out and just play some insane gauntlet and just absolutely throw them to the wolves every weekend. That wouldn't be fair, nor would it be productive. But I think they did a really good job of putting together a schedule. You know, the road loss to Arkansas. Arkansas hasn't been great, but it's still a road loss to a Power 5 team. So even if Arkansas struggles, it's probably still going to be a reasonable loss, and it's a one-point loss on a tip-in that didn't go in. So I think they've done a pretty good job to this point of the season, and I think the biggest thing, though, is the Big Ten is very strong. Every Big Ten team is going to have a lot of opportunity for resume-building wins in January and February. So I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, with Indiana, you know, they have a really tough stretch in January where 6 of 8 games are on the road. I think January is going to be very, very tough for Indiana. But I think that stretch actually runs to February 2nd, technically. But that's going to be a really tough stretch. That would be a tough stretch for anybody. And then obviously it kind of flips there in February. So I think we're going to see a tough, really tough January for Indiana. And then I think they're going to have a chance to make up some of that in February. And, you know, from February 2nd to about March 10th, I think is going to be the really key stretch for Indiana's resume.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com on this Wednesday edition of the program. Jeff, let's kind of turn the page and start looking at Illinois, the first game in a week and a half for this IU team. They'll host Illinois on Thursday night. It's an Illinois team that maybe with all the bright spots there have been throughout this part of the season, the non-conference for the Big Ten, having a number of teams, 7 at one time ranked in the AP Top 25, recording across the conference some very big non-conference victories. Illinois really hasn't taken much part in the early success of the conference. In fact, just last week, I believe it was, at home, they had a bad loss.
Well, yeah, I think they've obviously really struggled. They lost to Missouri in their annual bragging rights game, and they went back home and lost to Florida Atlantic, and obviously that was a nice win for former IU manager Dusty May, now the coach there at FAU. Illinois has definitely struggled. They've struggled to find any kind of consistent scoring, and their defensive system, while one that raises problems, because what they do is they try to deny everything. Even if you're just making a basic reversal pass, they try to overplay the passing lanes and deny everything. And when you have the proper size and length and athleticism, it can be a problem. When you don't, sometimes you kind of giving teams some easy looks, especially if teams can get it to the baseline, get it inside, or go wing entry and flip it. Basic stuff with pin downs and flare screens, if you execute it well, can get you good shots against Illinois' defense. So they've kind of been one of those teams that has had a lot of problems. Some people have speculated, okay, maybe they're going to come in unbelievably motivated. Well, they lost their rivalry game and then turned around and lost at home. So it kind of raises questions about what all's going on. They've had some recruiting successes. They've also had some big, problems, some pretty public when you look at the Taylor Horton Tucker situation. So I think they're a team that's a little bit in disarray right now, trying to find themselves. And that can be one of two things. It can be a team you steamroll, or it can be the old thing of the badger that's corner that really comes out fighting. So we'll see which it is, but I just don't think Illinois has the talent right now. If Indiana plays well, I just don't think Illinois has the talent to really stay with them.
You know, you talk about some public problems for Illinois, and I was going to get into some recruiting a little later, but I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times, and you probably saw this, where there was an actual story with quotes and complaints from high school coaches in Chicago and greater Chicago that they had not seen Illinois head coach Underwood or assistants at any, or maybe just a small number of an assistant here or there, big Chicago games, and really down on him from a recruiting perspective. I remember reading that story thinking, my goodness, I've heard, there's been complaints made over the years, I'm sure at a lot of schools, about coaches not getting on the road or not being at big games when they should be, or whatever the case is. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that in a newspaper printed with quotes from high school coaches.
Yeah, that's pretty rare when you actually see on the record quotes, because like you said, we've all heard those stories, but it's not often that they are public. And there were quotes in that story from high school coaches, from some AAU coaches, and from some pretty notable high school and AAU coaches up in the Chicago area. It wasn't just that they quoted, random, Johnny Jumpshot Senior. Those are pretty notable guys. And when they're willing to put the name on it and go public, there's a problem. So he's already got issues up in Chicago. And that's, Chicago's a tough place because you do have multiple very strong AAU programs. You've got multiple areas where, there are different people who you kind of really make good connections with. But it's just part of what you have to do if you're going to coach at Illinois. I think it's one of those situations, I've always thought if you're going to coach at Indiana, you have to be able to recruit the state of Indiana. It's a must. Because once you lose the state of, now you're not going to get everybody because it's a highly recruited state. As you and I have talked about before, it's an overly recruited state. But you have to do a decent job. You can't just be disconnected from the state and coach in Indiana. With Illinois, you can't be disconnected from Chicago and coach in Illinois long term. You're not going to last. And I think it's pretty interesting that in year two, we're seeing and reading public comments, people putting their names on the comments. These aren't anonymous quotes. This isn't, said an anonymous high school coach. These are people putting their names on the quotes. And that raises real questions about Brad Underwood and his, is this going to work long term? Now, it's only year two. you know, you can get past speed bumps, if you will. But he's really to the point. He needs to start fixing some of these things if he really wants to be at Illinois long term. And one of the things that's interesting, you know, when you kind of like peel back some of the layers, he has on his staff assistant coach Chin Coleman, who used to work with the Mac Urban Fire program. So you've got a direct connection there, and you're still getting blowback. And they hired Orlando Antigua, who used to be one of John Calipari's lead recruiters, the guy who was known for being able to make connections. And you're still getting Chicago blowback. So it does raise some real questions. Again, it's year two. You can fix it. You got time. But it's not a good start for him right now.
Yeah, no question. Interesting stuff on Coach Underwood and from a recruiting perspective at Illinois. For this game coming up tomorrow for Indiana, they've had some rest, Jeff, and I think we all agree that that's a good thing. Some healthy rest opportunity, maybe to get a little more healthy and to work on some things, because as we know, the way that college basketball is scouted in this digital age where every game is available at every coach's fingertips, there are staff within a college basketball program that do nothing but break down film and make cuts on players and teams and defenses and offensive sets and just about anything you can imagine. It's available and broke down in an unbelievably organized fashion for coaches to use in preparation for games. I would have to believe that not only was it an opportunity to rest for IU over this break, but probably an opportunity maybe to put a couple new things in, maybe to work on cleaning up some things from the non-conference season that Archie didn't like, but maybe even to put some more sets in. And I think a lot of Indiana fans are hoping that when some more sets are possibly put in, that Romeo Langford is the recipient of having the ball out of those sets.
Yeah, there's no question that one of the big emphasis points for Archie Miller going into Big Ten play is getting Romeo not only involved, but more involved in certain situations where he's most effective. Getting the ball going downhill, getting the ball in ball screen situations, things like that. Because, you know, Romeo shot 36% from three in high school, but he struggled to this point in college. He's right around 21-22%. I think that'll come up, but obviously he's been much, much, much more effective going downhill, you know, on the move, using his length and burst. So the idea is to try to get him more involved in those situations. Now, that's great to work on that. The other thing is, you know, other teams, you know, get to play too, and they're going to try to deny Romeo as much as possible. I mean, I was talking to one Big Ten assistant coach recently, and he said, "Yeah, Robbie, we've already got Romeo as a DNL guy on our stat sheet, which means do not leave." So he's going to get a lot of defensive attention. But I definitely think one of the things that Indiana wants to do, and certainly would help them, you know, is get more Romeo Langford involvement with the ball in his hands, because he can do so many things with the ball in his hands. And he can drive to score. He can drive to get fouled and make free throws. And he can drive to make passes for others. So I think that's something that Indiana needs to do. And if you look at some of their numbers, you know, pick and roll situations with Romeo, you know, they're creating points around 90% of the time. Now, obviously, that's a really good rate. And that shows how effective Romeo's been. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can ride that action for 20, 25 possessions per game, but it does show how productive Romeo has been. And I think that's one of the reasons that Archie Miller wants to get him more involved. And I think one of the things that was happening earlier in the season was, well, while you play to win every game, you know, Archie wanted to try to, I guess you'd phrase it as, make each player as dangerous as possible. Don't just ride the same action from November through March. He wants Alderon to be a threat. He wanted to really maximize some things with Juwan Morgan. He wanted to try to get Devontae Green going. He wanted to try to get Evan Fitzner's three ball going. But I certainly think a big point of emphasis moving forward will be more actions for Indiana with Romeo Langford, with a live dribble, being able to get downhill and make plays for him and his teammates.
Jeff RabjohnsPeaks.com is with us Wednesdays on the show. Jeff, good stuff. I do want to get some recruiting in because it's such a busy time over the holidays. While Indiana has had a break, there have been all sorts of holiday tournaments, not just here in the state, but across the country as well. A couple things that stand out to me: Armand Franklin, he was the recipient of a MVP of the tournament that his Indianapolis Cathedral team played in. Trace Jackson Davis and Center Grove, they played in the prestigious Hall of Fame Classic in Newcastle and were very, very competitive to the very end, even into overtime with Warren Central, who we all know how good they are and the run that they are currently on in high school basketball in the state. A younger player, Caleb First, he played down in Southern Indiana at a great tournament over at North Davies. IU coach, assistant coach Ed Schilling was there to watch him. IU coaches out on the road taking advantage of their time away from their team with no practices to see some of these players. It's always a very busy period right before Christmas until the new year with holiday basketball, and a number of guys with IU connections, either commit signees or prospects, get taking advantage of the holiday basketball circuit.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a number of the key guys. I had a chance to see Armand Franklin's games on film, and he was really good. And obviously, he had a 26-point game. A 17-point game early, and only played a couple minutes in the second half because he got undercut. Kind of what looks like on film to me. Pardon me, I'm moving around here. Sorry for the outside noise, but it looked like a little kind of a dirty play almost. I thought it was very, very questionable. But he gets undercut, hyperextends his knee in the afternoon, comes back at night, and scores more than 20 points, has a key offensive rebound and putback to send the game into overtime. Then he has a game-winning basket in overtime to give Cathedral the championship of the Bob Weddy Classic over there in Richmond. And as you mentioned, he was named MVP. Another guy who played really well is Cathedral point guard Tayshawn Comer. He's only a freshman, but in my eyes, and this is just my opinion, I think he's a guy whose name you're going to hear quite a bit over the next 3-plus years. I think he's a guy who's really coming along. So he's a guy to definitely jot down. And he was named to the all-tournament team there over in Richmond as well. I was over at the Hall of Fame Classic, and Trace Jackson Davis had a really good day. They won their opener against Westview, Class 2A team that plays a very methodical style. And so that was kind of a tight game, low-scoring affair. And Center Grove did a really good job against Warren Central, got up by double figures at one point. But Warren, with its pressure, with its guards, and just with its insane resiliency and ability to come back, they mounted another one of those comebacks and ended up winning that game in overtime. And, you know, Warren has won 40 games in a row. And I think it's now 9 or 10 games that they've won where they were either tied or trailing in the final 2-3 minutes. And just from a high school basketball perspective, their resiliency has been pretty incredible. Other guys IU got to see, they got to see Christian Lander, the point guard from Evansville Rights. IU assistant coach Tom Ostrom went to see Lander. Ed Schilling went to see Caleb First, the 5-star Class of 2021 point guard, center from Fort Wayne Blackhawk. IU also had a chance to go down to St. Louis, and they watched Class of 2020 point guard Caleb Love, point guard slash combo guard a little bit because he's about 6'2", 6'3", knows how to score it. He's a national top 40 kind of player, big-time player, definitely a guy who is a serious, serious target for Indiana in the 2020 class. The guy who's already been on campus at IU multiple times. IU went down and watched him in the fall. They just went down and watched him again on a game. He's definitely a player who's very, very, very much on IU's radar. And then IU also had a chance to go up and watch Jaden Ivey, class of 2020 combo guard from Mishawaka Marion, a guy who's shooting the ball really well. So the IU staff was out. They were very, very active watching guys during the holiday break throughout the whole state.
We're talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. I've got two more recruiting-related things for you, and we'll call it a day. Any update on Keon Brooks? I know his team plays more of a national schedule. They were active over the holiday period as well. He's had some really big performances for his La Lemire team. But any update on when he'll be ready to make a decision, where Indiana stands? It seemed like coming off of Trace Jackson Davis's surprise announcement that a lot of people predicted and thought Keon would follow fairly quickly within the next month or so, but so far we haven't seen any movement there.
Yeah, well, part of that is they like you mentioned, they play a national schedule, and then they're in the middle of playing three national, or they're on the third, excuse me, playing three national events in a row. They went down to Hawaii for the Iona Classic, came back, and then went up to South Dakota and played up there, went back home, gave the kids a couple days for Christmas, and then brought them back, and they're getting ready to head out to Wheeling, West Virginia for the Cancer Research Classic, where they'll play two big-time programs, Bishop Gorman out of Las Vegas, Montverde out of Florida, and Montverde is a team that they beat, interestingly enough, down there in the Iona Classic in Hawaii when Montverde was number one in the country. So right now, they're, you know, Keon's focus is on the games, on the floor, and on the travel, and you know, and enjoying some of these trips, because not a lot of high school kids get to have these kind of opportunities. His plan right now is when he gets back from the Wheeling, West Virginia event, Cancer Research Classic. I think they get back on the 7th. Then his family is going to sit down and kind of go through some things. Now, exactly whether they're going to make a decision then, or they're going to kind of really, you know, go through some things, that's going to be determined by them. It's going to be determined by, you know, is Keon ready to make a decision, et cetera. And I know people sometimes like to tie Keon and Trace together because they were AAU teammates and everything. But one of the big differences is Trace knew for a long time he wanted to go to IU. The only real question with Trace was, when is he going to make his announcement? There was never, in my eyes, from July on, there was no question. Trace was going to IU. The question is how he's going to announce it, when is he going to announce it, and how many of these official visits that he scheduled is he actually going to take? He ended up taking a few. He also ended up canceling some, like the Wake Forest visit. But he did take some of the other official visits. But the point is, He was way down the line as far as where does he want to go. The announcement was about how does he want to announce it and when does he want to do it. Does he want to do something big at his school? Does he just want to send out a social media edit that's really popular? How does he want to do it? With Keon, he's actually still trying to decide where he wants to go. So they're in a little bit different situations as far as where are they, you know, when people start looking at, okay, when is this going to come? I really think, and this is just my opinion, I think that three teams have moved to the most advantageous positions with Keon. I think it's Kentucky, Indiana, and North Carolina in the best positions. And it would surprise me greatly right now if he went somewhere other than one of those three schools. Obviously, things can change. Obviously, schools like Michigan State and others have the juice to, you know, make late pushes. But I think right now we're looking at primarily three schools with Keon, and I think that's what he's got to go through and figure out what's best for him, where does he fit best, excuse me, what's best for his development path, and all those questions that every player has to figure out. But I felt this since September, and I even wrote this on our premium board in September, I wouldn't trade places with Indiana as far as where they sit with both Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. Not to predict IU is going to get both of them, but there's nobody who was in a better position with both of them than Indiana. Now, is Indiana only going to end up getting one of them? We'll see. But IU has a legitimate chance to land Keon Brooks. I mean, a legitimate chance. Not just, they're not just getting a serious look. They're not just getting official visits. They've got a real serious chance to land him. So, he is the guy to pay attention to the closest here over the future. I think mid-January is the absolute earliest, a decision potentially could come. And it's possible it does come then, because I was communicating with the Brooks family, and they said, you know, that's possible. They also said, you know, if he's not ready, nobody's pushing him. So it could go later. It's going to be one of those things where, you know, when he's really comfortable to decide, he'll make his decision, then he'll make his announcement.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, as always, really, really good stuff, both about the current team and recruiting as well. And this final thing I want to bring up for just a couple minutes, and feel free to make this as short as you want. I just simply haven't had time to ask this or really discuss this much because it's been one game after another, so many things to stay up with related to IU basketball. But now that we are heading into 2019, we've learned a lot more over the last month, I'll say, about the recruiting changes to the live periods for Division I coaches to get out on the road. We know they're going away from the July model where it was AAU and Shoe Circuit tournaments. There is now only one weekend that those events will be, quote, live, which will allow D1 head coaches and assistant coaches to be at those events. There's going to be regional camps that were announced when the changes were first announced. We now know the locations for those camps. And then, of course, there's going to be two weekends of live basketball, which is completely new for college coaches in June to get out and watch high school teams play at events that are sanctioned for high school teams. So going to be completely different in a lot of regards, especially the high school involvement and especially this new regional camp setup. And I tell you what, from the college coaches that I've heard from, the ones I know well enough that off the record discuss things, and I know you talked a heck of a lot more than I do, at least college coaches, I can't find many that are in favor of some of the major changes that have been made to the recruiting calendar and the opportunity for kids to be viewed and seen by Division I coaching staffs.
I think the new schedule is idiotic. I think it's completely and totally idiotic. And there's a whole lot of reasons why it makes no sense. A number of them we can start with. Camp settings are the worst settings to evaluate players. Instead of letting guys play with the team that they've been on, coached by somebody who actually knows them, knows their game, and in a lot of situations, somebody who's coached them for a couple years, if you're talking about, you know, programs that have been around for a while, you're going to take kids from all around the whole region, throw them onto a court with a bunch of guys they don't know. Somebody they don't know and who doesn't know them is going to coach them. And you're going to have a bunch of college coaches. Then you're going to invite college coaches in and say, okay, make decisions on who you want, fellas. I'm sorry, Matt, that's stupid. It's unbelievably stupid. Anybody who thinks camp settings are good has never, never been out and watched AAU basketball, high school basketball, or any of these camp settings. The NBA Players Association Top 100 camp every year out in June in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the University of Virginia, is loaded with talent. I mean, loaded. 4- and 5-star prospects on every team. It is the worst basketball I watch every year because none of these guys have ever played together before. And they put some former NBA players as their coaches, some of whom try, some of whom you can tell do not give a rip about these kids. And it's awful basketball. Dribble, 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 jack up a shot. I mean, there are times it's such bad basketball. Those of us who go every year, we started counting the number of possessions in a row where there were fewer than two or fewer passes. I mean, that's how ridiculous the basketball is. So somehow Condoleezza Rice and Mark Emmer decided, instead of guys playing with the regular teams in the spring and summer, we're going to take them off those teams, put them with people they don't know, and then tell coaches to evaluate that kind of basketball. It's stupid, Matt. Nobody who has watched anything, high school, AAU, or camp basketball, would say camp basketball is good. It's okay if you want to go to a camp for instruction, but for evaluation purposes, it's ridiculous. It would be like saying taking Romeo Langford and going, okay, you know what? In January, instead of playing with New Albany, instead of being coached by Jim Shannon, who you know and has known your game, we're going to take you and put you on a team with a bunch of dudes you don't know and send you down to Houston, Texas, and colleges will watch you and make evaluations. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? It'd be nuts. But that's essentially what they've done. And you have a lot of AAU programs that, despite the issues that AAU does have in some circles, you have a lot of programs that have been around for a long time. A lot of kids play in these programs year to year. You know, in state even, you've got Indiana Elite, you know, the Spies Indy Heat Gym Rats, Eric Gordon program, George Hill G3 All-Stars, other programs that, are established. Nationally, you've got phenomenal teams, you know. I mean, some of those kids on Team Takeover that won Peach Jam played with Team Takeover since seventh grade. And if you watch Team Takeover play, I mean, you get to bring that team to Indiana, that would be a top five 4A team in Indiana. And the way they play, the way they play defense, people would go, whoa, what a terrific team that is. You know, so this notion that, you know, you need to blow up AAU is ridiculous. The other problem is just the selection to these camps. Their idea is let USA Basketball do it. Well, USA Basketball came out and said, we don't have a structure in place to pick high school kids for camps. And we were not asked to do this. But the NCAA came out and praised their decision to hand this to USA Basketball. The other thing is the NCAA and Condoleezza Rice want to reduce the influence of shoe companies. Who runs USA Basketball? Nike. Who pays a lot of these coaches who are involved with USA Basketball? Nike. So the kids who are going to get selected for these camps are going to get picked by people who get paid by a certain shoe company, yet your idea is to reduce the influence of shoe companies? Again, I'm sorry, that's just idiotic and not knowing the landscape. Another problem is you're only going to pick a certain number of kids for each of these regional camps. If USA Basketball people, and there are a lot of really good people in USA Basketball, just because, you know, Nike helps fund USA Basketball, that doesn't make anybody bad. You know, they need funding. Nike was the one who stepped up. That's not a problem in and of itself. It's just a joke that the NCAA is trying to reduce shoe company influence and turned around and essentially elevated shoe company influence. And I don't even think that Condoleezza Rice and her group knows what they did. I think they are so clueless that they did something and they don't even know what they did. But the selection process also, you know, a high school coach can nominate his players, you know, or players can actually nominate themselves now, which is just like, yes, by all means, let's just have every kid put his name in the hopper because that's going to be a smart system. So you're going to have a problem with selection. And there's so many players every year who aren't going to get picked because they aren't known. The USA Basketball folks know the top line. Okay, that's it. Maybe they know the second line. But you know what this is? This is a system that is not structured to allow college coaches to go see the OG Anunobis and Juwan Morgans of the world. That's what it is. Because at the time, OG and Juwan were freshmen and sophomore, and even juniors in high school. Now, they really came on as seniors. But early on, these were not known commodities, especially OG. He was a complimentary player who was an athlete. But he was one of those guys who, because he got to play AAU on a really good team, Team Thad, sponsored by Thaddeus Young, you know, he played in big events, and coaches went to the big events, and they see the peripheral players as well as the studs. And that's what happens in AAU every year. Kids get, quote, discovered, unquote. And the local people may know about them, but nationally people don't, and nationally college coaches don't. But by allowing kids to play AAU, you allow them to go to big events and get discovered. They don't have to be known. They can be completely unknown as an OG Anunobi was. But this new system that Condoleezza Rice and her group put in place, it's basically telling the OG Anunobis of the world, screw you, you don't get to go play. And so to me, I mean, and there's a lot, you know, we could turn this into a three-hour discussion, but I'll shut up because I know you got other things too. But those are some of the reasons why this is just ridiculous. And it's absolutely hypocritical of the NCAA, and especially of Condoleezza Rice, to say our primary goal is student-athlete welfare when you turn around and you put into place a system that harms high school kids. And that's what they did. And Condoleezza Rice, yes, I understand she's an incredibly educated woman, great. She has a resume that's very impressive nationally and internationally. I get all that. But, you know, the guy who's in charge of my financial retirement package is very bright financially. Does a great job, really smart guy. If I need heart surgery, he ain't doing it, okay? Why you take Condoleezza Rice and put her in charge of youth basketball? To this day, I have no clue. I've been covering this stuff for 28 years. I've never seen her. Never. So the system's silly. And it also, the summer stuff also puts a lot of pressure on high school coaches. Where normally high school coaches in June are doing stuff with their teams, team-oriented, team-building, all that kind of stuff. Now they've got to come up with some way to have some exposure then. And the high school federations, you know, those guys better get their act together, because if you end up with a bunch of stuff all across the state and you don't have one or two, you know, places where all the big guys are, you know, you're going to have a lot of coaches going, hey, you know, this state needs to get its head out of its keister and get some stuff together. And that's not what high school systems in June are designed to do. It's not designed for college exposure. It's designed for high school teams to have a little time together, play together, work on some things, you know, play in whatever their local events are. But now you got to be part of the whole, you know, process of creating exposure, because, and you really have to do it, because these kids aren't going to get seen all that much. And if you want your kids to be seen as a state, you know, you better get together and you better put together a few really good events, and you better put together some bigger events where most of the key guys from around your state are there. You know, you might be able to do one up north, one down south or something like that, but you better not have 25 different things and all your little, you know, fiefdoms around your state going, no, we're going to do our own thing. The college coaches, I think, are going to throw a big fit if that's the system.
Jeff Rabjohns.
I should stop on my rant.
We've got to go. Great stuff. I'm glad we actually found a little room to fit it in with everything going on. But great stuff on a number of topics as normal. Jeff, thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That wraps things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.